There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question, kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on a Friday, and glad to have you along. Hey, heads up, tonight, another great event at Cottage Hill Package, and your chance to come out and taste some great whiskeys, and at the same time, get some of your Christmas shopping, or depends on your crew, maybe all your Christmas shopping done. Tonight, Jack Daniel's Woodford Reserve Tasting. That goes on starting at 6 o'clock tonight at Cottage Hill Package, right there at Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. Join them for a Jack Daniel's Woodford Reserve tasting. You'll be tasting their Woodford Reserve Bourbon, Gentleman Jack Tennessee Whiskey, Jack Daniel's Single Barrel, some other surprises in the mix. And if you purchase any 750-milliliter bottle, which Dalton pointed out this morning is a...
That's a fifth.
or bigger of those whiskeys, you can have your holiday greeting etched into the bottle. Etched bottles make great gifts for friends, family, and coworkers. So check it out tonight, a tasting and a chance to get some shopping done as well. Cottage Hill Package, cottagehillpackage.com, or yeah, the tastiest yet, just find them in person. Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. It is a Friday, and it is the 1 o'clock hour, and that means it's time for 6.5 Stories with Dalton Norwig. I said, And it is the pre-Christmas edition, man, so let's get rocking
on
this.
It is, and yeah. I included a couple Christmas stories here.
Good. Heartwarming,
and,
I'm sure.
And would it be a Christmas edition if I didn't have at least two Florida Man stories?
Yes!
I knew.
That's my Christmas gift. Yes.
I knew you were looking forward to that, but we have to start off with some dumb criminals.
Okay, dumb criminals as we start off the list of 6.5.
Yeah, and you think of Christmas movies, you think of, you know, prison breakout schemes. I'm sure there's a Christmas movie that includes
the
prison breakout scheme.
Family classic, yes.
So this is a prison breakout gone wrong, and gone wrong because of either stupidity or someone moved to a different address. So let me explain here. The Alamance County Detention Center in North Carolina. I believe it's in Graham, North Carolina, because that's where they have this story listed. So these criminals had an escape plot. They had maps. They had everything planned. They were going to blow a hole into the Alamance County Detention Center and escape, but their plan went wrong when a woman received a letter from the Alamance County Jail. This happened on December the 6th, and it came to her address, so she thought that it was a letter for her. Mm-hmm. So she opened it, and inside of this letter, she found, I don't know, maybe she was expecting a Christmas card from her grandchildren.
Right.
Well, she instead found a detailed drawing of the Alamance County Detention Center, instructions for making a bomb, and also a plan for explosives to be planted on the south side of the detention center.
Holy cow.
In order to create an escape route. Now, this was a very good citizen because she didn't just throw this letter in the mail or throw this letter
in
the trash.
Most people would be like, that's not even for me.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have even opened it, you know, if it wasn't actually addressed to me. But she opened it, she saw the plans, alerted law enforcement. One of the perps, Sean Damian Castorina, he's 43 years old, and he's from that neck of the woods. He's from Graham, North Carolina. He was already in the jail serving time on a first-degree murder charge, and now he, I believe, was the mastermind behind this, and he faces new charges for this plot. He allegedly conspired with Shannon Douglas Gerken.
Uh-huh.
He's a 23-year-old from Graham, North Carolina, and Dakota Lee Marquette from Burlington, North Carolina. Sheriff's Office reports that Gerken and Marquette may have been the followers of the lead perp, Castorina. And if the bomb had gone off according to the mailed plans, well, the Sheriff's Office say that it would have injured both other inmates and some of the administration. The detectives found additional evidence of the plot, as they're known to do once they start investigating these things. They found the evidence in Castorina's cell, and they went back and listened to the cell phone recordings.
Or to the phone in the cell would be a cell phone. Yeah,
correct. Yeah. They went back and listened to the conversations recorded on the phones at the detention center.
Uh-huh.
Marked that up as new evidence. Castorina was charged with an attempt to escape county jail, 2 counts of manufacturing and assembling weapons of mass destruction, and 4 counts of felony conspiracy. Gerken and Marquette were both charged with malicious use of an explosive to damage property. And you wouldn't believe it, but Castorina had previously tried to escape the jail.
You don't say.
Back in 2000, well, earlier this year, he tried to escape. So this was his second plot. This time he mails the plans to a woman in town.
All right, so always double-check that address before you send it.
Email
or snail mail. Make sure you got the address correct.
Yeah, or he could have used a cell phone to maybe Snapchat the plans. He would have been better off. All right, we move into the Florida man section of our 6.5 stories. Let's start off in Largo, Florida, where a Pinellas County man facing felony child abuse charges. Now, when I say that, that sounds bad, right?
Yeah,
all child abuse is bad. This one might have been a little bit different, okay?
Okay.
Because these guys were competing in a dodgeball game and got too fired up about it. The guy that's charged, 22-year-old Khalid Dedich, D-E-D-I-C, Khalid Dedich.
Yeah.
He was playing dodgeball with a bunch of other people.
Uh-huh.
And apparently teenagers were involved because he got very, very angry in this dodgeball game and attacked a 15-year-old teenager. According to their arrest affidavit, he charged the victim, attempted to tackle him, only then to stand back up and charge the victim again. Then the defendant open-hand slapped the teenager.
Oh!
That was enough to give him felony child abuse charges. Witnesses told police that Dedich, the guy that has been charged, he'd been trash-talking other players while playing this dodgeball game. Now he sits in Pinellas County Jail under a $5,000 bond. You can, what's the old saying in dodgeball? You can dodge, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Yeah.
This kid could not dodge an open-hand slap.
A slap, right. So dodgeball gone bad there. All right.
Dodgeball gone bad. All right, story number three here in the second part of our Florida series of stories, Florida man. Port St. Lucie, Florida, where I'm surprised this hasn't happened more often, but a customer driving through drive-thru reportedly tried to trade some marijuana for some great McDonald's fast food.
Really, just a barter system kind of thing.
Yep, he thought he could barter with the McDonald's employees, and they said, nah, not happening here. It happened at about 2 a.m. on Sunday. Police were called to the McDonald's on Southwest Port I can't say
Port
that word today.
Yeah.
Southwest Port St. Lucie Boulevard, where police said in a Facebook post, because they have to post these on Facebook now, the McDonald's worker told police that a man in a Pontiac four-door drove through the drive-thru of the McDonald's trying to exchange a baggie of marijuana for food. The McDonald's worker refused, and the car drove off. They called the police, gave them a description of the man who apparently had the munchies at 2 a.m. and didn't have any money. Police said a short time later, suspect again went through the drive-thru of the McDonald's. That's when you never double back.
No.
Police found him when he went back through, made contact, noticed a heavy odor of marijuana. Makes sense. They reported finding a small amount of pot in the vehicle. And you wouldn't believe this, but that Pontiac four-door had a surfboard sticking through the back window of the car.
I have some audio, actually, from that night.
Let's hear it.
Well, you should be coming on pretty soon, dude. How much do you smoke?
This will be a little demonstration of that. Listen up. That was my skull. I'm so wasted.
Okay, so yeah, that might have been some of the audio. I'm not sure. That could have sounded a lot like that.
I think that was straight from the drive-thru window. 23-year-old Anthony Andrew Gallagher charges of possession of marijuana under 20 grams, and he presumably went to jail hungry. But good thing they have food at your local county jail.
Dude. All right, where are we in 6.5?
All right, that was the first three stories. We got a couple Christmas stories coming up,
okay.
and one that parents might or might not want to hear. I don't know.
A heartwarming Christmas story or not on the way.
That's
we'll get
right.
to it. When we return, 6.5 stories with Dalton Norwig right here on Midday Mobile. This is FM Talk 106.5, and we'll be right back. Y'all check on Spicoli for me, man.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Yeah, we are in the midst of 6.5 stories here on a Friday with Dalton Norwig. We made the turn here?
Yeah, we're on story number 4.
Okay.
And parents, you know, if you have an only child in the car, you can keep the radio turned up.
Okay.
If you have a second or third or more children,
yeah,
turn it down, because this might hurt some feelings right here.
All right.
But don't turn it down too far. We want you to keep it on the station.
Just put your headset in, yeah.
Okay, so they did a study out in Melbourne at a university, the University of Melbourne specifically.
Good place for it.
Yeah, and they were trying to find out how parents' mental health changes with each child.
Oh, get me started. Get me started on this.
And what they found was that having a second child actually worsens parents' mental health.
I can guess.
So they went through 16 years of data from the Household Income and Labor Dynamics in Australia survey. They found that after one child, both parents actually showed improvements in mental health. But okay, the second child doubles the parents' time pressure and adds further stress to their lives and negatively affects the parents' mental health.
Preach!
A marriage and family therapist out in Australia, Bianca Rodriguez, she said that the study's findings are actually pretty consistent with her experience as a professional. She said, it's been said that having one child is what you would expect, but having two is like having 10 children. Good for me to know, because I got the first one on the way.
Yeah, get ready.
I'm going to have to think real hard about having a second one.
Right.
She said, this is because the amount of attention required for two children is not doubled. It's exponentially greater because
preach,
now you've got the added dynamic between the children to manage.
Mm-hmm.
The study also found that a second child has a greater impact on the mother's mental health than the father's mental health. Researchers wrote, fathers get a mental health boost with their first child, but also see their mental health decline with the second child. But unlike mothers, fathers' mental health plateaus over time. They said, clearly fathers aren't facing the same chronic time pressure as mothers over the long term. Same researcher said that mothers experience higher stress levels when it comes to raising kids because traditionally females are saddled with more of the childcare responsibilities at home. So one child, you might actually find some improvement in your mental health, but after that, it's all down.
It's all down. And one of the things, too, I've said this many times, that once you break two, and this will be a word to you, once you break two, then you have to be able to, you can't run man-to-man defense anymore.
You're right.
You got to run a zone, right? Which means at a certain point in a zone, you let that receiver by.
Yep. Then eyes on the ball.
Right?
Eyes on the ball.
Right. So there's the rub. So you've got, when you get over two kids, that's why I say you with two, the parents can run man to man. They can, somebody can be posted up on both child. If they both, one runs this way into the street, the other one goes that, they can split. But when you go above two, you're going to have to say, look at the children and say, there's one of you that I can't help.
Yep.
There's one of you that may not be our favorite. So I'm not going to tell you which one it is, but I would just keep yourself out of trouble.
And to keep the basketball theme a little bit, you know, some of those parents that have one child, maybe two, and they grow a little bit older, then they have an alley-oops.
Yes.
And a much younger child, then it actually might become a little easier if you got a 15 or 16-year-old.
Well, sure, let me clarify. If you had young ones, yes. If you have an older one that
they can run some defense also.
Yeah, assistant coach kind of position for them. Yeah,
yeah. But that fits in with this next story we have here from the UK, which pretty consistent Christmas-wise with us. I mean, I'm sure they have different things going on, but they did this survey to describe the average Christmas day in the UK, and I'm sure it's a lot like us, but they say the modern Christmas day, of course, it involves at least two cries of I'm bored from the kids and 41 minutes spent desperately trying to get new toys to work. Well, they found that on average, 30 presents will be opened on the UK Christmas day.
30?
They found that parents will spend 2 hours and 16 minutes playing with their children and their new toys.
Yeah.
The average youngster will cry at 10:30 a.m. That's on average.
How do they do these surveys on this stuff?
They got a lot of people to answer it. This was actually a Duracell.
Okay.
It was kind of an advertisement, but they still put a lot of great information in there. It's just every fourth line tells you to buy batteries because that's what these companies do.
Keeps the kids from crying.
But it was a study of 2,000 adults, including almost 1,000 parents of children that have kids under 18 right now. They found the average child wakes up at about 6:07 a.m., 75 minutes earlier than a normal morning when they're off school. At 10:01 a.m., an average of 30 presents will have been ripped open. Duracell adds three of which will need batteries to keep them going.
Thank you, Duracell.
They say families will sit down to dinner right around 2:20 p.m. That matches up with what most people have. And an average of an hour and 31 minutes spent playing board games together. But it's not all happy all the time. They say that there is at least one fallout for every family over Christmas, and they say the reasons behind those fallouts are normally what to watch on TV, what you're going to eat for Christmas dinner, someone having too much to drink, people constantly on their gadgets or scrolling through social media, who's going to do the washing up after dinner, the mess after the presents have been opened,
right,
or trying to get new toys and gadgets to work.
Well, that's, that probably.
Does that check out?
Yeah, pretty much checks
and,
out.
And
yeah.
A couple more. They added the top 10 board games that are played. Monopoly, of course. That's probably why the average is an hour and a half, because it takes so long to play that game. Trivial Pursuit, Scrabble, Clue, Pictionary, Pie Face. I haven't heard of that game.
Pie Face.
Operation and Twister.
All right. We'll have another time when we can lament the fact that I can't sit still long enough for board games, which is like robbing my children of their childhood.
You would drive that average of time down.
Yeah, I can't do
and
it.
And then some of the people playing Monopoly probably play 5 hours a day and drive it back up.
That's for sure.
All right, story number six. You know, we've talked a lot about emotional support animals, whether or not they're allowed on planes, and now I think for the most part they're not allowed after years Especially the long flights. Well, Popeye's Chicken. They're just trying to help out. Now, this is only available right
please
now.
Please tell me there's some emotional support fried chicken.
Ding, ding, ding.
Somebody has heard my plea. The cosmos has heard my plea.
Right now, unfortunately, you'll have to fly through Philadelphia if you want to get your emotional support chicken. But Popeye's decided to help out. They've introduced emotional support fried chicken. You get your fried chicken meal in the Philadelphia International Airport, and they've got a specially designed carrier box that looks just like a chicken, and along the sides it says emotional support chicken. And since this is already past the security checkpoints, you are allowed to take your emotional support chicken on the plane.
Oh, that's the best thing I've heard in weeks.
I've got to go to Nashville at some point.
Right.
I might fly up to Philadelphia, and I usually drive. I might just make this a whole thing. Up to Philadelphia and back down to Nashville just to get the emotional support chicken.
And this is available just at one place?
Yeah, right now only available at Philadelphia International. I'm hoping that they add more flights, airports.
Coming soon. I do, too.
That brings us to story 6.5.
Yeah, so what happens here?
Okay, well, I give you half the story or half the sentence, and you fill in the rest. It's like a fun test at school.
It's like Mad Libs, y'all.
Like Mad Libs, except we can't mark you off. We can't give you an F for this. So there's been a federal court decision in New York that has lifted a ban on something you've probably seen this in a whole lot of movies. And actually, the reason this thing was banned was because of movies. Back in 1974, they banned this thing because it was popular in movies, and this federal court has now lifted that ban. What did they lift the ban on?
Like something in the movie theater or something they put in the movies?
Something that was put in the movies. Something that you would have seen a lot of in the early 1970s.
Oh, so you can't, they're saying this ban, you couldn't put this.
Yeah, you know how we'll see things in movies and they'll be like, oh no, if the kids see this.
Okay,
this
I'm going to say the easy one here. But I thought I thought I'd seen movies with that, smoking weed.
No, that's not it, which they are thinking of if they haven't already lifted that in New York. Actually, the answer here, they finally lifted the 1974 New York State ban on nunchucks.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness. What about throwing stars?
I think throwing stars are still allowed.
Okay, good.
They put this ban in place over fears that youth inspired by martial arts movies would create widespread nunchuck mayhem in the streets. They have now found that was unconstitutional under the Second Amendment. This was ruled on Friday in Brooklyn Federal Court. The plaintiff, James Maloney. I don't know, but he started his legal quest after he was charged with possession of nunchucks in his home in 2000, filed the complaint in 2003, and since 2003 has been appealing all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Case went against him then, brought the case back in 2010, and finally now they say that the New York state ban on nunchucks was unconstitutional.
What did they worry about? Widespread nunchuck mayhem?
It was put into place over fears that youth inspired by the Bruce Lees of the world would create widespread mayhem in the streets, that kids would just be running around hitting, slapping people with nunchucks. But now, fear not. You're not breaking the law.
It's quote of the day, maybe quote of the year at this point. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Coming back, well, if you heard me talking about the newest show that debuts here on Monday, Mike Gallagher. Mike Gallagher joined us, 2 days ago for an interview? We're going to replay the interview with Mike Gallagher, see what he's all about. His show debuts 9 a.m. Monday right here at FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad to have you here. And I mentioned this morning and said coming up during the show today, we would unveil that thing that I think pretty pretty darn well kept secret around here. You know, usually it's leaky like Washington around here, but we have kept it under wraps. What's happening starting next week at 9 in the morning when Mobile Morning goes off? What show comes on? I've got to get about a gazillion emails here and text and people asking that question. So you've waited around. I told you I'd pay this off. I'd land this plane, and we're doing it right now. You probably know this man from his radio work, or if you're like me, you know his voice and his face from lots of appearances on Fox News Channel. Now he's part of the FM Talk 106.5 family. His show starting Monday at 9. Y'all say hello to Mike Gallagher. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Sean, Merry Christmas. What an honor it is to be with you here on a Wednesday, and I'm so excited about joining your team Monday. I just can't stand it.
I love this. So the Mike Gallagher Show is all over the country now, right here in our region of the Gulf Coast. So I got to ask you this. Before we even get into radio and politics and your show, but, you know, here in the South, we also want to know, like, where you come from, who your people, what drives you. I mean, tell us, if people have not watched you on Fox News or listened to your radio show, tell them, who's Mike Gallagher?
Well, for starters, I really cut my teeth, and the highlights of my life came as a Southerner when I lived in South Carolina, not too terribly far from where you are, Sean.
Right.
And so I have a whole different perspective when we see the way the mainstream media and the way the elites treat, you know, so-called flyover country and treat Southerners and treat Christians in the heartland. I have kind of a different take because, you know, my happiest moments of my entire life have been spent in the deep South. And so, you know, even though I'm originally from Ohio, I think I'm a Southerner. I'm not a Southerner by birth, but I'm a Southerner by choice. And so we still have a great presence in the Carolinas and in Georgia, and now in the Gulf Coast with you guys. And so it's a real Christmas gift for me, and a great way to kick off the new year to start the Mike Gallagher Show with you guys. Sean, I'm entering my 40th year as a broadcaster, 21 years in national syndication on the radio. Started out as a local host as a teenager, like many of us did, in my hometown in Ohio, Dayton, Ohio, actually, and went on to Albany, New York, Greenville, South Carolina, Albany, New York, and then New York City, where we're based. But even though I'm based in New York City, I sort of feel like sometimes I'm a man without a country, because you know, it's a little liberal here in New York City, as you might know, Sean. And so even though I like the vibe of the city, and I'm a pretty big sports fan and a theater fan, and I'm obviously, as fat as I am, I'm a big restaurant fan, so you get a lot of great meals here. But my heart is really in the heartland, and that's what the Mike Gallagher Show has experienced over the last couple of years in particular, the last 20 years in general. But the last 2 years, where I have been a staunch supporter of President Trump and the conservative agenda that he's pursuing and the conservative policies and accomplishments that we've witnessed, I'm one of the guys that's never wavered in my support for President Trump. And people seem to like that. We've had the best year of the entire history of the Mike Gallagher Show in 2018. You know, like all of us, Sean, it's not a secret. You know, when you have a radio show, you're measured in terms of ratings and revenue. And I can proudly share that, you know, this has been a high water mark for us, the single most successful year we've had. And I'm convinced it's because, as a conservative and as a registered Republican, I want this president to win. I want conservatism to win. I knew that we couldn't survive 8 years of Hillary Clinton, and so, you know, I think I judged wisely, and, you know, and I'm proud to do that every single day. Trump bashing takes place in 99% of the media, morning, noon, and night. It does not happen on the Mike Gallagher Show. That doesn't mean if one of your listeners wants to call and challenge him or challenge me, of course we take calls, but from my perspective as a host, I don't engage in the typical, usual Trump bashing that we get everywhere else in the mainstream media, and I'm very, very proud of that. So you know, to kind of sum up, I mean, we're on a roll, and the last couple of years have been a joy. Every day is a challenge. I kind of feel like we strap on the armor every day. We walk into the studio and we try to deliver the, I'll say the second best radio show, only to you, in America.
Well played. As you know, as your PD and your ops manager, that works for me. If you're just joining us, talking to Mike Gallagher.
I know who the boss is. I know where my bread is buttered. Don't worry.
Mike Gallagher, the Mike Gallagher Show, starts on Monday here at FM Talk 106.5. I tell you what, a self-serving quick question here. You talk about the years in broadcast and then moving on to syndicated nature. The prep the prep it takes, and you know, I actually don't ever really talk about this on my show, but the amount of work that those of us that do talk radio do to go on there and do the show, did that change with syndicated? Did it change from when you were a host locally to when you went syndicated, or was there any change in how you got ready for a show?
No, I mean, really, life is show prep for me. I mean, I think I'm pretty good at observing human nature, and even though our focus and our mission every morning beginning at 9 a.m. is to deliver breaking news and what to think of it. You know, the world has changed in the last few years with the internet and the digital era, but for my perspective, the process is still the same. Anything that happens during the course of the day can be show material. Now, I've got a great team, and you know, I've got a Dallas-based crew that is watching, scouring the internet, watching every news source, making sure that we try to have everything covered, so that when your listeners tune in, you know, we're going to try to do the heavy lifting for them, so they don't have to be monitoring things 24/7. But no, it's really the same process. I mean, you know, my producer provides me with probably 40 to 50 items every morning. We have a daily meeting where our team, and we have about 7 or 8 people on our team that deliver the show every day. Lots of great people that are behind the scenes. My operations manager, who's been with me for 20 years, and Lance Anderson, my producer, has been with me 10 years, and a lot of young people now who've joined to help us with our video stream, because as you listen to us on the radio, you can also watch the show online if you want at mikeonline.com. And incidentally, that's a great place for your listeners to go to get acquainted with what we do. MikeOnline.com is our official website, and there's just a lot of great information there. But, you know, hey, a great show is a great show, and I'm convinced that it doesn't really matter if you're local and doing a great job like you do, or you're national. You know, what comes out of the speakers is the most important thing, and I want our listeners to be informed and entertained and enlightened, and we try to do that every single day.
Yeah, you almost you beat me to the punch there when you talked about your website, because I was going to ask, where else online, social media, if somebody is going to do their homework over the next few days to get ready for the show debuting on Monday, where do they go?
Well, MikeOnline.com, and I will tell you that I have a love-hate relationship with social media, because to be very blunt, there's a lot of toxicity on Twitter and Facebook. And
you don't say.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's not news to you, and I really am averse to that. I don't like it. I'll be very blunt, and I'm probably, bucking conventional wisdom. You know, everybody thinks they got to be on Twitter and tell everybody what they had for breakfast, and I'm just not into that. You know, I want to focus on my radio show and stay in my lane. I'm a radio guy. You know, I've spent years as a Fox News Channel contributor, but quite frankly, I haven't, a couple of years ago I said, no, I want to focus exclusively on the radio show, which is what I do. So the best resource is MikeOnline.com. We are on Twitter. We're at Radio Talker Mike. We have a Facebook fan page, and it's frankly just because they make me. the other site, though, that I think your listeners might appreciate is Gallagher'sArmy.org, because my charitable foundation, the Mike Gallagher Show Charitable Foundation, is called Gallagher's Army, the Fallen Officer Fund. We're about to rename it Gallagher's Heroes, the Fallen Officer Fund, but over the last several years, we've raised millions of dollars for the families of police officers who've been killed in the line of duty. And it's sort of my life's work. It's my passion. I am a staunch defender and supporter of law enforcement. I believe the men and women of law enforcement in America are under siege, if not by activists who hate them and people who resent authority, then real life. You know, this week we saw two police officers in Chicago who were killed in the line of duty trying to chase down a bad guy. So what we do with our foundation is provide a check to give financial assistance to these families almost immediately after they've lost a loved one. We also produce something called the Gallagher's Army First Responders Bible, which is a spiritual fitness manual and a King James Bible that we get to first responders all over the country. So if you want to check that out, that's gallaghersarmy.org. So those would be my two recommendations, Sean. MikeOnline.com and gallaghersarmy.org. It's a good way to give your listeners a little view of a little taste of what the Mike Gallagher Show is all about.
You know, Mike, you say you stay in your lane, though, but I got to give you a tip of the hat for a little bit of a Renaissance man thing. I mean, the acting, and also you're an author. You've written a couple books.
Well, and I'm also a former college baseball umpire. So when I got when I got the news that I was going to join your team in Mobile next week, Let me share with you, 2 hours and 25 minutes away, just up I-65, I spent a couple of years, some hot, sticky springs in Montgomery at the Division II NCAA College World Series. And, you know, umpired a couple of College World Series there on the Division II level in Montgomery, Alabama, which was, you know, great. It's an other life a number of years ago. But, yeah, I mean, I'm also an actor. I've gotten to do a show on Broadway and toured a little bit with my dear friend Sally Struthers, who you may know from All in the Family, and she's a great theater actress these days. And that's one of the things I love about New York. You know, I've got a real love for the theater and appreciate musicals and plays and all. For too long, the world thought only liberals got to play in the arts. And you know what? There's lots of conservatives that are in music and entertainment and TV and film and theater, and they just don't like to admit it. Because it gets kind of rough for them career-wise. But yeah, I'm a little bit of a jack-of-all-trades. Wrote a couple of books. My first book was Surrounded by Idiots, Fighting Liberal Lunacy in America, which became a New York Times bestseller. And then my second book, which also did real well, 50 Things Liberals Love to Hate. And it was kind of a comic romp, you know, the things that the left hates, from Walmart to believe it or not, steakhouses and swimming pools, and you know, we had a great deal of fun writing that book, and I think you can still find those books on Amazon. Been a while, but they're out there, they're floating around, and it was a great chapter of my career.
I want to get before we wrap up here, a Mike Gallagher take on what happens or does not happen Friday night. Do we see a shutdown, and where is the right number if we play Monty Hall here and let's make a deal for President Trump and border wall funding? I mean, what do you see happening here in the next 48?
It's a great question, but of course, we should have learned in November of 2016 not to try to make any predictions when it comes to Trump world. You know, if there's any takeaway over the 2 years that we've experienced this president in action, it's that we shouldn't make predictions. If you were going to hold a light bulb over my head and tie my arms behind my back, I think we're going to see the shutdown. I believe the president is going to fight hard for this border funding. But I also believe that if he doesn't get it from Congress and the obstinate team of Chuck and Nancy and the Democrats who are trying to obstruct everything he does, he's going to get the funding. I mean, I one of my frustrations is watching Republican leaders run for the hills every time the mainstream media tries to rattle some cages. This guy delivers what he promises. I mean, look at this week with criminal justice reform. And he gets all the credit for that, Sean. That was a huge victory. And guess who benefits from the criminal justice reform bill that the Senate passed overwhelmingly, this bipartisan act? African Americans, Hispanics, minorities, you know? And so for a guy who's said to be such a racist, boy, he doesn't really behave like a racist does when he's pardoning, you know, black Americans for drug offenses where they could be members of society, and he did that very prominently and got Kim Kardashian involved and Kanye and all of that. So, you know, we got to stop making predictions, because this is an unpredictable guy. I call him a bull in a china shop, and he's upset the apple cart. He's taken on the elites. He's taken on the establishment, and he's winning. He wins over and over and over again, despite all these forces conspiring to take him down. I think we're going to see the wall. I'm not entirely sure, you know, I'll admit, how the funding is going to happen. If we see a shutdown, we're going to see a shutdown. He's willing to take the credit for that, or take the blame, I should say, for that. He said that to Chuck and Nancy in the Oval Office. Hey, you want to make me the boogeyman? Make me the boogeyman. I'm willing to shut the government down for border security, and he's right. The Democrats are lying when they say they want border security. You can't be in favor of border security and against the wall, Sean. It just doesn't compute. And so I trust this guy, and I believe in him, and I fight for him every day on the Mike Gallagher Show.
There he is. Mike Gallagher, thank you for your time, and we will be tuned in starting Monday morning at 9. Thank you.
Great being with you, Sean. Merry Christmas, and I hope 2019 is your best year yet.
You as well. Welcome aboard, Mike.
Thank you, sir.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
joined by Ben Kearns from Taylor Martino, attorney there, and joining us again to talk about what's happening here. And there's more stories, Ben, than probably anything else I hear on the road, distracted driving. Sometimes just fender benders, sometimes very tragic stories.
Right, and that's what I want to talk about. And, you know, distracted driving, but specifically I want to talk about texting and driving and how dangerous that is. And I got a few stats for you, Sean. 2016, 3,450 people were killed due to distracted driving.
How many?
3,450 people.
Wow.
In 2015, 391,000 people were injured in accidents due to distracted driving. These stats are coming from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. According to the NHTSA, you are 23 times more likely to get in an accident when you text and drive. When you look at a text message, you're oftentimes looking at that message from in between 3 to 5 seconds. You can travel up to several hundred yards in that time period.
Wow.
This is really, really dangerous.
And this is, you know, this is interesting too, because you were telling me, we were talking before we went on today, and you said, okay, Sean, you got different kinds of distraction.
Sure.
And you pointed out texting is at least two of them here. And, yeah. And because not only are your eyes off the road, your mind's off the road.
Right. There's three different types of distracted driving. First, visually, you're taking your eyes off the road.
Right. I can't look at that text.
You can't
look at the road at the same time.
You can't do both at the same time. And second, you're taking your hands off the wheel because you're holding the phone. Sometimes you're using one hand to send the text. Sometimes you're using two and driving with your knees. Third, you're taking your mind off of driving.
Sure.
So when you're texting and driving, you're doing all three of these things. You're taking your eyes off the road, you're taking your hands off the wheel, and you're taking your mind off of driving. You're concentrating on
something
else.
I didn't think about it that way. Three different ways you're disengaging from what your job is.
It's extremely dangerous. I've got a bunch of automobile accident cases, and almost all of them are rear-end collisions.
Now, what does that tell you? Somebody who's seen this before, what does that tell you?
Right.
Man?
Every single one of those, the driver was distracted.
Right.
We know that for sure. In most of those, the driver was texting or otherwise using a cellular device.
This is the majority of them.
That's correct.
You say you've got evidence of that. That's interesting. And, you know, we were talking before we went on it. I was hit the other day, and I got hit on the side there.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering about that. How do you look at that? I mean, you don't have to give away all the secrets, but
sure.
how do you say you've got evidence of that?
Right. So we can subpoena phone records and text message records. And we can tell, you know, if you were texting and driving right before the wreck and right around when the wreck occurred. We can also tell if you have a habit of texting and driving. And that's one of my favorite questions. Looking at somebody's phone records, asking them in a deposition. So it looks like you sent text messages at 7:58, 8:01, 8:03, 8:05, and 8:07. Would you agree that you're a pretty proficient texter and driver? This is the time that you're normally driving to work. You just admitted that. And they have to say, yes, I am. You know?
And so if somebody has had this injury, had an accident, somebody's hit them, and I'm just kind of reflecting back to last week, and you think, for us, we don't know how to prove that, but y'all do.
We do. And we have the authority to go out and subpoena those phone records. But whether someone was texting and driving or not, you don't get in a rear-end collision or a T-bone collision unless you're distracted. A driver in the state of Alabama has a statutory duty to keep a proper lookout and not follow too closely. And we as drivers, the safe drivers in the community, we have a statutory right to rely on other drivers following the law and obeying the traffic rules. So, you know, there's a lot of us out there probably listening that that have texted and drive before.
Yeah.
And, you know, the law isn't just that you can't text and drive. You're not allowed to write, send, or read a text message. You can't otherwise access cellular data. But there's some of us, we don't send text messages when we drive, but we expect other people to obey the law.
Yes.
You know, for those of us out there that send text messages while we drive, we need to treat others the way we expect to be treated. We want other people to be safe.
Wait a second. You're going back to golden rule and kindergarten stuff on
it
this,
is.
Right?
But the law is about the golden rule. That is the essence of the law.
You mentioned that the job is we have to be vigilant of what's going on around us and be aware. So that person who will say, let's say that, I didn't see you stopping or whatever. That's not my responsibility.
Well, ask that question again, Sean.
If I'm stopping and somebody rear-ends me.
Sure.
And they'll say, well, I didn't see you stopping.
Sure.
It's their responsibility.
It's no excuse. The rear-end collisions that I have, my client was obeying the law in every respect. stopped at a stop sign, stopped at a red light, yielding to oncoming traffic, merging onto Airport Boulevard mm-hmm. or something like that, doing the right thing. It's no excuse that you just didn't think they were going to stop. You've got to be keeping a proper lookout, and you've got to be anticipating wrecks all the time because they happen constantly. Alabama is one of the most dangerous states in the country to drive. We have one of the highest fatality rates in the country.
Is it really?
It is, yeah.
It's like you've been following me around. You said, merging onto airport years ago, I had somebody crush into me coming off of 65 to get onto airport. There's that time, Ben, where you look in your rearview mirror and you know that this is getting ready to happen.
Sure.
And you have no way to stop it. That is scary.
It is scary. And what we need to do is we need to be more careful about what we're doing when we're driving. We got to pay attention. You know, driving distracted like this is kind of similar to firing a gun at random, except that in this case, the bullet weighs 2,000 pounds. And you fire a gun at random, there might be a person standing in the way of the bullet, but you drive a car while you're distracted, then you're going to end up driving into oncoming traffic.
Wow.
It's extremely dangerous.
Well, I didn't ever think about it that way, but it's the same, the same idea of lethality of that, even in a bigger way with that 2,000-pound car. All right. Somebody's listening to us right now, Ben. Uh-huh. And if you're just joining us, Ben Kearns with Taylor Martino, my guest, and they said, somebody hit me, whether it's rear end or whatever it was.
Sure.
I got a feeling they were distracted. I mean, this is the kind of stuff when they sit down with you, or are you going to ask, how does that Q&A go with you?
I mean, okay, so, you know, I've got to, I want to know where they've been, what they've been doing, because, you know, as a lawyer, I've got to tell a story for my client, you know, and I want to hear what they were doing from the time they woke up to the time the wreck occurred, and then I want to hear how their body reacted to the collision. Mm-hmm. What did they see and hear before the collision took place? I need to know lots of facts and lots of details. I try to be very thorough in my intake interviews. You know, if it appears that you've been injured by a distracted driver, which, I mean, how does a wreck occur unless someone wasn't distracted?
Right.
I've got to get on getting the subpoenaing the cell phone records as quickly as possible. That's why, you know, if you've been in a wreck and you've been injured, you need to talk to a lawyer soon, because I need to go after those cell phone records. Now, the problem is that there's a couple cell phone companies that don't keep records past a couple years. So the sooner you get in and talk to a lawyer, the sooner we can get on finding out whether or not the other driver was texting and driving. And this is pretty crucial for your case, because obviously in an automobile accident, you can make a claim for negligence. However, if someone's texting and driving, you may be able to make a claim for recklessness, which includes punitive damages. Now, recklessness includes a choice. When you text and drive, you've made a choice. When you're simply negligent, you're not just making a choice, you're just not paying attention.
Okay.
What we're looking for is a choice here. This increases the amount of damages that you're able to get.
All right. So somebody's in that situation. They've been hit. Sounds like a time is of the essence. They need to talk with you. So, Ben, how do we get in touch with you?
You can call me at Taylor Martino Law Firm, 251-433-3131. I want to talk to you. I want to meet you in person. We'll have a meeting. My meetings take about an hour to hour and a half, but I try to be thorough from the very start. Got to get a lot of information. Got to find out how I can investigate your case.
All right. See Ben or the many other voices at Taylor Martino. Just Google Taylor Martino. If you ever need more information, you can always drop an email to me, Sean at fmtalk1065.com. Ben, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others. We'll be right back.